Charles Gagnon was the 14th child in a poor farming family living in Bique, a small village on the Gaspé Peninsula of Quebec. He was born March 21, 1939. In the subsequent decades, he became an important contributor to the revolutionary struggle for a different Quebec and a different Canada. Charles Gagnon died last November, and on March 25th of this year, over 300 people gathered in Montreal to pay homage to his contributions. Raymond Legault was a comrade and longtime friend of Charles Gagnon, and he was one of the co-chairs of the memorial evening, and he joins me on the phone from Montreal to discuss the political journey and legacy of Charles Gagnon. Good morning, Raymond, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning.
In 1964, Charles was one of the founders of a new journal called Quebec Revolution in English. It was a journal in French, of course. And a short time later, he became a member of the FLQ, the Quebec Liberation Front. Could you sketch the character of the FLQ and Charles' involvement with that organization?
Yeah, the FLQ was a nationalist and revolutionary organization, a Quebec-based organization of the mid and late 60s. I guess you could say it was our small local component of a much broader national liberation movements around the world in the 50s and 60s. It basically advocated Quebec independence from what could be sort of summarized as British Anglo-colonialism, and also advocated on behalf of workers' rights against big capital, but this aspect to a lesser extent. It was known for some writings, of course, and also a few bombings, and most notorious for two kidnappings in 1970, that of Richard Cross, a British diplomat, and of Pierre Laporte, who was then Quebec Minister of Labor. Charles was a leader of the FLQ, was identified with, I guess, Pierre Valliere as one of the two main ideologues of the movement, a writer, and was also active in a cell of the Quebec Liberation Front.
He was imprisoned, was he not, for his involvements with the FLQ?
Yeah, he was actually imprisoned a few times. He was imprisoned in New York when him and Valliere protested at the UN calling for political prisoner status for Quebec Liberation Front detainees in Quebec. But he was jailed in Quebec for over 2.5 years in two segments for his FLQ activity, and also after the October crisis in 1970.
What led Charles to turn away from the FLQ and propose instead the formation of a Revolutionary Workers' Party?
I guess what was the main contradiction within the FLQ, on the one hand, some people stressing much more the national liberation aspects, and some people, including Charles, putting much more emphasis on the social and economic contradictions, the fundamental opposition to capitalism and imperialism, and denouncing both foreign and homegrown capital. Also, definite interest in organizing a structured movement, a structured party to overthrow our capitalist system, as opposed to relying on the spontaneity of loosely connected cells. I guess you could also say gradually moving from a Quebec-centered approach to a more a Canadian framework for the overall struggle to overthrow Canadian capitalism. And struggle was never, however, a party. It was always considering itself as an organization that was actually struggling to bring about the conditions for a party that would have broad-based working-class support.
So within that organization that you mentioned, in struggle, which in the French version was En Lutte, that went by both names because it was an organization across Canada. Charles was an important figure both in founding and in leading that organization through the 70s into the early 80s. In 1982, that organization dissolved itself. Looking back retrospectively, I know Charles did some interviews in the last weeks of his life to give his perspective back on his commitments in earlier years. How did Charles understand the failings of that endeavor to form a revolutionary workers' party?
There were many contradictions at play within the organization, which Charles recognized, one of them being the little recruitment that the organization had managed to operate within the working class, other contradictions being the connection between capitalism and patriarchy as major dominant systems of oppression, contradictions with women's situation within the organization also. However, he was, I would say, deeply preoccupied with other shortcomings of the organizations, with many activists did not necessarily see as he did. One of them is actually the fact that our own activism had prevented us from serious reflection on the question of revisionism. He was struck and indeed waged a struggle within the organization on the blatant contradiction in our own ways of looking at the world when it came to analyzing capitalism, looking at it fundamentally through its economic base, and when it came to the shortcomings of the struggle for socialism in the USSR and other countries, looking at it only at the level of ideas and the abandonment of certain ideas and certain principle, as opposed to trying to understand the fundamental forces that were at play and the changes in those societies. So that was one of his major concern, and the other major concern was humanism, the relation between Marxism and humanism, and an assessment of all of the developments in science and in capitalism itself, and how humanism could be sort of updated through all of this, and be a fundamental aspect of the charting a course for people's interest.
After 1982, with the dissolution of the project of In Struggle, where did Charles focus his intellectual energies?
Maybe just before mentioning, answering your question on this, I think it's quite important to know that these were extremely difficult times for Charles Gagnon after some decades of charting the course and leading two very different revolutionary organizations, the FLQ and then In Struggle. Deep sense of being abandoned and of possibly personal failure to some extent was quite present in his life. However, he did remain very active intellectually. He lived for 2.5 years in Mexico and did some investigation into the Asian production mode in pre-capitalist societies. Then he came back to Quebec, did a doctoral thesis on the U.S. New Left, and then started a major investigation, which he continued through the end of his life, which he had entitled The Crisis of Humanism, on which he was still working when he died. And actually, a number of those later writings will soon be published as part of an anthology of his work.
We focused a bit on the changes in Charles' thinking. What would you identify as continuities in his perspective?
Well, a very persistent, constant search for a deep understanding of our world, of the lives that we're living in this world, and what is the fundamental course of human societies presently, and a commitment to find through this analysis a way forward in the interests of people, of their well-being, of opposing the destruction and despair and dehumanizing character of capitalism, and eventually defeating it. I'd say that's the main contribution that he's been steadily working at, and making, you know, important contributions, I'd say.
There certainly was a mood of warm affection for Charles as a person at the memorial evening, which I was very glad to have been part of. What were his individual qualities that you think elicited these emotions?
Well, to most activists, Charles was not someone that they would be in contact with daily because of the way that our organization was shaped and set. So most people saw him as the leader of In Struggle and someone who definitely provided inspiration and orientation for their daily activist activities. But many people also had the chance of knowing Chal and testified as to his very, very noticeable warmth and kindness as a human being. His modesty, which was extremely striking, the fact that he was really not judgmental. He saw all his comrades as human beings struggling in the context of this capitalist society, and was very, very open to discussion with everything. One comrade that actually had the chance to live with Chal for a couple of years, who was a rank-and-file member of In Struggle, had no particular leadership role in the organization, told me at the commemoration that whenever he spoke with Chal, he had the sense that he was the only person in the world, and that all his attention was focused on him and deep interest in whatever he had to say. And whenever people had differences of opinion, political opinion with Charlie, he was always extremely open to hear those opinions, to think about them, and you could actually sense that. There weren't instant replies to whatever someone would tell him. He was thinking about what he had heard and making, you know, his responses, I would say, in a measured way and always very respectfully.
His last published essay was addressed to youth, and one of the co-chairs along with you of the memorial evening was a young anarchist activist woman who only came to know Charles in the last 5 years of his life. Why do you think Charles' political journey ends with an address to youth?
Well, I think he wanted very much to maintain a continuity between the past revolutionary struggles within Quebec and Canada and what is going on presently. This tale to the youth of our country, which is sort of the subtitle, is actually trying to present the FLQ movement and In Struggle as in a way as youth movements, that these were young people, that they were like young people are today, that they were rebellious, that they were energetic, that they wanted to challenge many things in the world, and that they did try to do that in persistent ways. It sort of depersonalizes and that experience quite a lot and brings it to its general character. Shao was also of the opinion that changing the world was something that was predominantly resting on young people's shoulder, and he ends his essay with that, saying that he has much more confidence in their ability to understand the world and challenge it than in some university intellectuals' convoluted ways of trying to present the complexity of our world.
Thank you very much, Raymond, for taking time this morning to speak about your friend and comrade, Charles Gagnon.
It was really my pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The writings of Charles Gagnon will be published in 3 volumes, and they'll include transcripts of the interviews done in the last weeks of his life, which present Charles' retrospective thoughts on the different periods of his political journey. This publication will be in French, an English language selection of briefer excerpts from the interviews with Charles Gagnon will be published in the summer July-August issue of Canadian Dimension magazine.